Hello and welcome to Through Tansdale's podcast as we take an in-depth look at the lower leagues of Scottish football. After his week-long hiatus, Muzz is back with us. Muzz, are you well?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Tired as ever.
Were you at Heart Health Services or not?
No, we'll confirm that. I was not at Heart Health Services, nor was I wearing a trench coat with binoculars. Never wore a trench coat.
Behind the Dunfermline bus station, is that where you were? It was just location wrong.
He's been scouring nightclubs in here. He's been in Tesco cafes and he's been in the filming bus station. Johnny Marr concert next week, so he's a doubt for that.
In researching air clubs, and it's taken me the full week to go through all the different names of air clubs.
To be fair, it was fortunate that you could physically go to the same place in one night, because you're just going out and in, just into the same nightclub. Yeah. It's Club de Mar now. Yeah. We're back into Prince Harry's or whatever it's called.
James, how are you? You're right.
Yeah, I'm all right. Cheers.
Good.
How are you?
So, yeah, good. So, thanks very much for watching, everybody. What we're doing this week is three shorter episodes, one per division. This is a League One episode. So, if you've got any interest at all in flow and banter and average to good football chat, you can check out the Championship and League Two editions, which are on YouTube. Or if you listen to the podcast, you can get them on Spotify or Apple Podcasts as well. We're also on Twitter at Turnstiles The. Before we go marching on to League One chat then, Muzz, journeyman spots of the week.
Yeah, unfortunately we can't link this one to League One at all, but it's an entry from Distant Doonhammer on...
It might be League One next season. That's his 10-year point, I think, is what we're
going to get. Yeah, maybe not in recent form, but yeah, potentially in that league. But this is from a football forum that I've dug this out from, that will remain confined to the Turnstiles room 101, but we'll exploit it while we've got the illicit access through the back door, if you will. Somewhat off topic, he says, as not a journeyman player, but somehow memorable nonetheless. On holiday in South Spain, walking into La Cala, which could be also South Ayrshire, for all we know, for a bite to eat and a few beers, chatting to a mate about football and the subject of the then SFA chief executive, Jim Farry, comes up sparking the usual adverse comments. Walked into a restaurant about 10 minutes later and who's there but Farry? Spooky.
Decent, to be fair. Farry was a controversial figure, wasn't he?
Aye, so it's not so much a journeyman spot, but it's quite an interesting... coincidence, if you will.
I love the people that are submitting these that know what people look like, that are not like it's not. To be fair, we had it. I saw Scott Brown out and about, and I saw Alan McGregor, but it's not like front page, week in week out Premiership players. It's the obscure and the mundane of Scottish football that folk are like, is that? And they know it is because they're that into Scottish football. Like I love hearing about it.
It's decent to be fair. So if anyone can match that, let's say get in touch with us in the comments on YouTube. If you are watching on YouTube, if you can do us a massive favour and like the video and subscribe to the channel, it takes 2 seconds, but it helps us massively with the algorithm and our quest to breach treble figures in terms of views and subscribers. So League One is back in all its glory. Muzz, how did you find it?
It's good to have League One and League Two back and some sort of resolution to finishing the season fairly as possible. And some interesting results shown up, definitely straight into the action.
We cannot go any further without talking about that own goal, just to box it off. Is it Ramsbottom, isn't it, on his debut?
Yeah.
I noticed he didn't play last night either in the cup. I don't know if the two are related.
Off back here. And the big question on everyone's lips is how could he not get back to claw that out the net? I don't know if he's like running back into the wind or something, or he's got forfeit and he's scooping. But for that to be the decisive goal, you're like, Jesus. I mean, I fancied forfeit for that one actually. Before the game, as resilient and stubborn as Dumbarton have been all season, I just fancied forfeit just because of the recruitment and there's a new lease of life injected in a wee bit through through the break and the transfer window and stuff like that. But I didn't expect them to win it like that.
You wait 4 months, 5 months as a Dumbarton fan for football to come back, or even for Jim Duffy, who'll have been just delighted to get back to it, and that's how you lose it. Football, man. It's got a way of kicking you in the balls, doesn't it? And Muzz, you have been delighted. SPFL Team of the Week, centre-half, who was in there?
Big Andy.
Big Andy Munro. Yeah. Straight in, isn't he? Like, he'd never been away.
Taking his yellow card on the chin as ever as well. As well as a few elbows, probably, but... that's what I'm saying about Forfar's recruitment. Yeah. It's like just little things like that. Just, you know, that is keeping them up, material, and kicking on more for next season possibly.
But just before we talk about kind of who replaced them at the bottom, they then followed that up, Dumbarton, James, with a 4-0 win at home to Huntley, which you expect them to win it, but Huntley are no mugs, and Jim Duff will be delighted with that, but they kind of got back in the saddle after that disappointing. And Ryan McGeever, I think, put one in at the right end as well, so he'll be delighted with that as well.
Yeah, it's difficult because we spoke about it on the Championship episode about, I think, actually the gap between the sort of the senior pyramids and the leagues below it isn't actually that tight. I spoke about it in relation to Hearts, but we've also mentioned it before. And to go slightly away from that, we spoke last week about one of the things to watch out for were how good these loan players were. And there's loan players who've stepped up from the lower leagues who've made an instant impact in League One already. So the fact that Dumbarton managed to beat Huntley by 4 is a fair feat, because, like you said, you would expect them to win, but that's a comprehensive win about... Mm-hmm. Or for a team that really isn't that far apart, which is basically a long way round of saying that they seem to have done very, very well on what could have been seen as a banana skin, but actually wouldn't have been a mugs game by any account. So mm-hmm. So yeah, it seemed like a fairly straightforward the wrong way to do it, but good business for them.
It's not often they pop in 4 goals, so I'll give them a boost as well, Muzz.
That's exactly, I was just trying to say that there as well. That's like, when was the last time this Dumbarton fans saw 4 goals at home? And I like to think like after Forfar, they can only really laugh and go again after that. So to rattle in 4 goals, what a response! And they'll be all right this season, I think.
The thing is, Jim Duffy, even if he was going to rotate his goalies in the cup, there's no way that Ramsbottom's believing him, is it? Look, I was going to drop you anyway, but the own goal had nothing to do. Chris Smith needs a game. I enjoyed them and chose Twitter Muzz last night. I think they'd tweeted something like a 7-1 victory and will still not be the most talked about result, because obviously they've done their job on Hearts, but that's a great result for Montrose, isn't it? Just what a way to get back. Obviously they played in the league, but then to go and score 7, what a boost that gives them as well.
Yeah, I expected them to maybe take something at Falkirk, but to go,
it's hard full time, isn't it? Like going after
a 10 team, man. And then James is right, I think, about the gaps between some of these lower league clubs and the divisions below them, your Highland League, Lowland League. But I think being out of the game for so long can affect different individual teams differently. Nairn County maybe it's just not come together for them. And Montrose, they're quite an animal when they're in their flow, so a bit too much for Nairn. But that's just like another 90 minutes under their belt, lots of goals, sharp, so they'll go into next week buzzing Montrose, I think.
James, good for Montrose, wasn't it? Because obviously Craig Johnson's got a hat-trick, Quinn's got a couple, McLean, so they're spreading the goals for the team. But somebody got in touch with us on Twitter, didn't they, highlight Mockery's performance?
Yeah, it was just a drop of like a 2-minute, 3-minute YouTube clips of Mockery's game, and to be fair, he's not someone that I've seen in the flesh. You hear all sorts about the next big prospect from X club and you go, oh, brilliant. Obviously harping on about how good our episode was last week, we spoke about the Lone Rangers and however many youth players are now coming filtering into the leagues, but he's one that really seems to be a good talent.
I thought Dundee United
from that video certainly can all I can speak to is it seemed like it's a good fit at Montrose, but also seemed like this game against Nairn offered him the opportunity to say, actually, look, here's what I can do. Because he was still quite young and he was doing things that you hope you don't ever grow out of, because he was picking the ball up in space and then he was willing to drive, take folk on. He was dribbling the ball in the box, which is the most fruitful thing I think you can do in the forward areas. The amount of penalties, the amount of opportunities you can make, folk still refuse to do it. But he's got the ball at feet and he's driving into the box and taking a shot. Reading an interview with, I think it's a Salzburg coach that's been hotly linked with Celtic. He's put in his philosophy and he's saying, oh, you know, you score your most goals after winning the ball back in 10 seconds. That's where goals come from. And you win the ball back 10 seconds later, goal. Mulcahy's got taken the ball in. Doesn't matter if it's 5 seconds and gets a shot away. It doesn't matter if he dribbles into the box. Doesn't matter if he holds on it and slows the tempo down. That's what you want to see. It's not all about this high octane, you know, get the ball and then just have a shot and or give it to someone else. He's willing to take it on. So he certainly looks a decent prospect. What I will say, though, is it's good that there are no fans in the ground, because a lot of the highlights for that Nairn game, the players are saying to each other, like, oh, I've no seen him, or, oh, sorry, that's my fault. They're acknowledging each other, look, we're maybe a wee bit out the swing of things here, because they're playing a team, however many divisions above them, who are, you know, a stronger, more professional outfit, you could argue, and they're just going to be better. But the Nairn County boys are saying, you know what, aye, that's my fault, because we've not played for however long, and also our league's still off. So really seemed like an interesting game, and goals galore, albeit a bit one-sided.
I think Mulcahy's decent, Muzz. You'll have seen him in the flesh as well. I've seen him a couple of times. I thought Dundee United maybe would have kept him. It's one of those ones, isn't it? Because obviously they're bottom six now, Dundee United, so the games don't mean as much, but they're still looking for results, so it's maybe a chance they could have played them. But on the flip side, I think David Martindale said this about Tiffany, is if you put somebody out on loan now, lower league, and James and I mentioned it last week, they're going to get a lot of minutes, aren't they? So they're going to, he's maybe going to play three times as many games at Montrose as what he would have at Dundee United.
Yeah, I think you've answered the question there as to why he's been chosen they've chosen to keep him at Montrose for that very reason. I agree that he's good enough to be given a chance at Dundee United and bleed him in, but to keep him hitting the ground running, I think you stick him out at Montrose again and get those minutes under his belt in a tough league where young players can be bullied out of it. I've seen him and he was quiet, but I'm basing that on the, I've only seen him once. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't involved the other time, but Cammy Ballantyne's another one at Montrose that from St Johnstone, same reasons, keep them out there, keep them playing football, keep them playing against men instead of boys in the youth ranks. You hear about the benefits of that so often. So
Do you think that Montrose is a good place to put them because it's relatively well, like, I think it's a really well-run club relative to some other clubs. It's well-run. Do you think it's important that they go to a club like that? Or do you think it's more important that you send your loan players to a team that plays quite similar to you? Do you think there's, what sense do you see in where they're sending boys? What do you think you place most stock in?
I think it's partly geographical, you know, with Perth and Dundee being so close that they can train at the clubs and turn out for Montrose week in, week out. And I don't know how much thought goes into where they get sent out on loan, but I suppose if the parent clubs can have an influence in that, they will probably try and choose carefully.
I think Dundee United have got a loans manager. I'm sure Brian Grant's a loans manager, so they're maybe a club that does take quite a lot of time and thought into where they actually put their players. You know, is it, if Dundee United play 4-3-3, which they have been doing, if Montrose are then a team that plays 4-3-3 as well, then obviously it's a better fit than maybe a team that doesn't. So
I ask only because it's, and not to sort of derail the whole conversation tonight, it was one of the things that came up when I was looking into a lot of the arguments for having a Colts team or not having Colts team, is you want a progression from under 13s when you start playing an 11-a-side straight through to your senior team. So if you've got Colts team in the league, then you know they'll be playing that formation. It's like Livingston, who play a relatively, or can play a relatively tough style of football, sending Jack Hamilton to our broth. You know it's going to be a similar mm-hmm. style of play. So mm-hmm. it's just, like you say, I just wondered myself how much thought got put in if where players go. Geographically, I think you're spot on, but maybe you're looking at teams that have got loan managers.
Yeah, and I think like the levels are a factor as well, because if you're looking, what did Dundee United do with Mochrie next season? Do they feel he's ready for first team football? If he's just off it, do they then look to Championship and give him experience at the high level? Same's happened with Jack Hamilton. I get your point about Arbroath being a good fit for him, but I wouldn't necessarily say East Fife would be your natural lower league alternative to the way Livy play. Not a million miles off it, but I think levels come into it as well, just blooding them in, taking them mm-hmm. up a notch.
I suppose you can't rely on him. I'm just going to a team that plays like you, because how does he learn to play anything else?
Yeah.
Like if East Fife were rough and tumble, and then Arbroath were rough and tumble, and you got a rough and tumble senior team, then you didn't learn how to any other aspect of your game. You just learn how to develop a big callus on your forehead that doesn't hurt when you hit the ball anymore.
There's loads of factors that come into play. Plus, he's come back from East Fife directly in the Livingston team, scored for the first team at Livingston, and then gone back out. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if, you know, there's loads of different factors to consider. It's just, I can imagine it's a tough job for a manager. You're kind of plate spinning. You're mm-hmm. trying to keep all your squad members available. But if they're not directly available, keep them playing. Keep them playing mm-hmm. at as high a level as possible. So.
And just moving on then, Muzz, obviously teams don't like to get beat. We've said that a million times before on this, but will Danny Lennon be slightly, maybe not as happy as he normally would? Because obviously by winning against Keith, they now play Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And their rewards, it's an away trip to Ayr where they're not going to make any money and they're probably going to get beaten anyway.
Yeah. I kind of agree, but
Tuesday, Thursday's brutal, isn't it?
What do you do if you're Danny Lennon, bottom of the league, and then you go out of the cup to a Highland League team? You might not be in a job,
you know,
the next week. So of course you go and you try and beat Keith, and I think Danny Lennon would be insulted if anyone insinuated otherwise. But
Keith as well. no,
a bit of banter, but yeah, no, I think like where you know, Clyde, the focus is on the league. It's now become an urgent priority because they are now bottom. But
it's a bad way to come back, isn't it? To come back and then after the first game, you're bottom.
Aye, and I totally get your point about the games building up, and yeah, to come back and be bottom and take a home defeat like they did. It's a bit worrying times.
He's brought in a lot of young boys as well. He's took a gamble, hasn't he? A lot of boys are on for Rangers and stuff. So
again, by the way, already proven to not necessarily be the answer. So McGlinchey was I can see the logic in that. Good creative player, which is what they needed. But
mm-hmm. And we've just spoken about intros there. So those two play each other on Saturday. How do you see that one going?
Montrose again.
Yeah, I'm going to back you there.
Yeah.
James, what do you think about that one?
Yeah, I feel like it's relatively straightforward, because just going on about the movement and the dynamic approach into the box that Montrose have got and certain players and how they want to play. And in previous episodes, my main concern for Clyde is just a lack of mobility sort of throughout the team, and their... Yeah, desire is the wrong word, because they all do have desire, but you just worry for mobility in terms of defending the box and defending your key areas. Away to Montrose, bottom of the league, yeah, I think it's misery for them.
Mm-hmm. And Muzz, talking of the cup, a team that'll be delighted with the result, Falkirk. We touched on it in the champion episode more from like an Arbroath perspective, but from, you know, Lee Miller, David McCracken, what a result for them.
Yeah, like you said, quite ambitious, starting with three up front, away to a championship team as well. And, you know, they've maybe just thought, you know, let's just go for it. Let's have a anyway. Go,
yeah, because the likes of Morrison didn't play and stuff, so they have made changes. Yeah.
So I think there's a, it's not a desert, like, everybody wants to progress in the cup, and that carrot of Celtic was a big one. But at the same time, they're like, I think any in these current conditions, any club will accept being knocked out of the cup, especially to a team that they were maybe expected to. But I mean, I think that was quite an even, when you look at Arbroath down the bottom of the Championship, Falkirk, top of League One. Well, the only thing going in Arbroath's favour was obviously they've played more competitive football of late. So, but brilliant result, and Jordan Munch will be a thankful person after that.
And you've spoken there, obviously, at the start, how you liked Forfar's recruitment. Obviously, they got that 1-0 win their first game back. Now, they host Falkirk. They'll be boosted by, obviously, getting off the bottom of the table as well. But how do you see that one panning out?
I think they'll give Falkirk a game. They drew there earlier in the season with a somewhat of a more patchwork team, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Certainly defence anyway, they put in a decent account of themselves, albeit Falkirk, I think that game were reduced to 10 men. I can't remember if I'm getting my Falkirk games muddled up, but I do remember it being an even contest. And just with they've brought in Munro, and Meakin's become adapted to centre half, like, you know, a duck to water. He's not got no sign of Anderson,
Travis and White.
Travis White, yeah. So, but they're still proving pretty miserly at the back. But yeah, Falkirk off that cup result and a convincing 2-0 home win over. You know, we've just spent ages talking up Montrose, how good they are. Difficult, but at Station Park, forfeit a match for anyone. So, difficult one to call. I'll chuck in a prediction and say that I think Falkirk might still win that.
Yeah, I think Falkirk will win it as well. James, talking a team that's kind of had a mixed bag on their return. In fact, I'll get a prediction from you for Falkirk first.
To be fair, I've not really got much more to say. I think Muzz has summed it up perfectly. It will be a game, but obviously it will be because it's getting played. But it'll be a contest that's worthy of keeping your eyes on. I think it'll be one of the more interesting ones because Forfar aren't to be written off based purely on table position. I think it's too late for them to mount a serious sort of climb up the table. So for me, it's a Falkirk win, but it's not going to be an easy stroll for Falkirk. And, you know, we spoke last week about things to watch this weekend. I think things to watch towards the end of the season will be what Forfar are actually going to do, because they could turn the corner and be class, or equally they could just meander and peter out towards the end of the season and just be written off. So Falkirk, and I think it'll be a catalyst for how the rest of their season is going to go, because if they perform well, that's one of the hardest games that they can host. So Falkirk for me.
And I say a team that's kind of the mixed bag on their return is Peterhead. So a great win against Airdrie, 1-0 at home last weekend. Disappointing result, 1-0 defeat by Stenny in midweek there. How do you think Jim McAnally will take it coming back? He'd probably, to be fair, maybe have accepted winning in the league if it meant going out in the cup.
I'm wondering if I can just summarise here and put a question back to you rather than answer your question. So answer your question, my question. Is Peterhead's season over? Are they finished? Mid-table,
no,
doing all right, out the Scottish. Have they got much to play for, do we think? I wouldn't really see them being dragged into the relegation shout. Don't really see them pushing on to be in the playoffs in comparison to other teams in the league that are much, much stronger. Their season finished?
No, they're 2 points off third.
So they've got plenty to go for, despite the fact Cove, Montrose, Airdrie, Partick, probably all stronger for them. East Fife, potentially stronger.
You can't say somebody that's 2 points off third and 4 points off second season's over.
Yeah, I put them in that bracket of likes of Morton and Queen of the South in the Championship, who can threaten above them but could equally tail off and get dragged in. I mean, we've just talked up Forfar. I agree with James, and I expect them to start nicking points. And I think next season will be Forfar's kind of moment to shine, I think, under Stuart Malcolm, once he's fully, you know, he's already put together a strong squad. If he gets boys back from injury and he retains a lot of that squad and he's finally kind of implemented a philosophy, I think you could see Forfar turn out to be a right outfit next season. But certainly this season, they look like they might have enough about them to start picking up points. We've already said them Barton, we think they'll be all right. They'll take points off people. Mm-hmm. Peterhead will do the same as well, but they could easily get dragged in, as well as exactly like you say, they're in with a shout for the playoffs. So I think their season's alive and kicking, and I think they would have been interested in a cup run as well.
Saturday's going to play a big part in that, Muzz, because Peterhead go to Dumbarton. How do you see that one panning out?
It's almost impossible to call, because they could, Peterhead, they're the epitome of League One. They can beat anyone, anywhere on their day. So I could see it being a tight, scrappy affair, maybe shaded by a goal, just like Forfar. Could be either way. So I'll stick my neck out and say draw.
I'm going to back Dumbarton. I think just coming off the back of... They're over that kind of goal from last Saturday. They've scored a good few goals midweek. They've not got many injuries. They've got that kind of relatively settled team, don't they, with kind of Wardrop at the back, Morgan Neal, McGeever, Forbes at left-back, Carswell, Wedderburn. I think they're actually, Frizzles are actually coming in a wee bit of form. I think they're looking all right, Dumbarton. It's if they get hit with injuries, I think they'll toil, but as it stands, I don't think they've got any. So I think their first 11 is good enough to beat Peterhead's 11 on Saturday, especially at home. James?
I'll give you a rebuttal to your rebuttal, first of all, seeing as you've just skipped beyond that. But I'll link it nicely to a prediction as well. I'd be concerned that they're drawing on points with East Fife, despite having played two games more. Drawn on points with Partick, played the game more. Drawn on points with Airdrie, played the game more. Same games played as Montrose, Cove, Falkirk, who are all ahead of them. To be fair, they have played two games as well, more than Dumbarton, who are just 5 points behind. So I'm concerned that there is plenty, to be fair, there's plenty to be played for them, but I don't see them being at either end of the table. I wouldn't be surprised if they were finished the table where they are just now. Saying that, though, I think...
Probably take that, to be fair. Yeah,
and it's not by any means well, let's write them off and let's just say season's done for them, because for me, if I'm Peterhead, you're still looking up the table saying it can be done. Personally, I can't see it because I think the teams above them are stronger. But if you're looking up the table saying it can be done, you're also then going in with a sort of the impetus to say, well, let's go and ruin some folks' day. Let's go and say why we should be in the playoffs and East Fife shouldn't be. Or let's go and be in the playoffs where Partick think they should be, but actually we'll go and beat them, so we'll start overtaking them. So yeah, I think there's stuff to play for, but for me, it's almost like that's where they'll finish. And it's not like they're going into games that are a dead rubber.
Just to interrupt very quickly, the next three games are the three teams below them.
Yeah, and that
so
will
know
be
in 3 games' time. What
massive, yeah.
Be.
For me, the Dumbarton game is going to be a draw. I think you've said that both teams are relatively strong. I think Dumbarton are maybe stronger on paper, but I also think Dumbarton are maybe a bit closer to, you know, the odd mistake here or there that's going to set them back, as we've seen. Similarly, Peterhead are in the same boat. They can easily have one person have an off day and the same thing happens. So for me, it's a draw, and not just because I think it's almost game over for Peterhead. I just think it's two relatively even matched teams.
And
in their favour, Peterhead, they've got Ray back on loan and they've managed to get Freeman and McCarthy back on loan as well. Yeah. So like Montrose and these other clubs, they've managed to, like, they've not capitulated in the transfer window or anything like that. They've managed to, like, retain consistency in terms of, like, their personnel. So
I think bigger problem is the teams above them are just better. So if we're looking for them to go into the playoffs, I just think the teams above them are just better than them. So they maybe can't do it.
It took them a while to break down Airdrie, didn't it, Airdrie, obviously, last weekend, early red card, Kyle Turner. do you know how Airdrie kind of shaped up after that? Because they didn't make a sub or anything. And kind of looking at their team, the only really Richie is what you'd call a natural centre fielder. They put Carrick back in there.
I'm assuming they put Carrick back in to centre and maybe possibly Gallagher off the side with Robert off the other side. So it's more like a sort of and Connell through the middle.
Yeah.
But I think you're looking at that game and I'm thinking Airdrie win that if Turner stays in the pitch. Not only because he's a brilliant signing, massive player for them, but I mean, I just think the way Airdrie have reportedly come back and the shape they've been in and the decent record against Peterhead as well, and I just think to play 86 minutes from a man down and just lose by a goal like that, I think they completely turn that on its head, and I think Airdrie were going to win that had that not happened.
He was brave, Murray, wasn't it, James? Because obviously they've had Sabatini on the bench, so the kind of easy thing would have been to hook one of those more forward-thinking players like Carrick, Gallagher, Robert, Connell, bring Sabatini on there to play with Richie, but he's obviously backed his players to kind of get a result despite the red card.
Yeah, I think he's definitely finding his feet. As he progresses and growing into the role he's in, because he is sort of consistently just doing what he's about. He just knows how he wants to play, he knows what he wants to do, and he just gets in about it, and albeit perhaps a bit stubbornly sometimes.
So, Muzz, Airdrie, tricky game on Saturday, they host Partick. You seen much of Partick? What are you saying about their business?
Yeah, good. That signing of Tiffany yesterday was a massive signing for them, because he is much improved since his, although he's not played too much for Livingston, when he has been played, I think you were saying he's been playing through the middle quite a lot. Which I was actually at the game last night against Cowdenbeath, and you can see that that he's built in his game. When he was at Morton, he was quite raw, still had the pace, he was a bit thinner, a bit more raw, but you can tell he's added to his game. And it was an instant impact for Partick Thistle last night. He sprinted to the byline and cut back for Gordon's the first goal for Partick Thistle. And he was just at it all game. And Partick Thistle altogether, like the fitness levels were excellent for a game for. You could see the difference between the full time and the part time in terms of maybe how much they've been able to train and stuff like that through lockdown. So.
Good win for them, obviously, against Cowden, but they've got to be disappointed drawing at home to Cove. And just to kind of run you through the experience on their bench, because taking note of it, Stephen Bell, Joe Cardle, Chris Erskine, and Andy Geggan, as well as obviously some young players, but a whine experience on there, isn't there? And they'll be disappointed with that result, I think.
Yeah, they will be disappointed, obviously, because they need to get into the playoff positions and to concede in the last 10 minutes as well.
Yeah,
like, let's not beat around the bush. You know, Thistle don't see themselves as a League One team. They see themselves as a bigger team than this league, but they're not proving it at the moment. So Cove, I think, you know, that's they're contenders as much as Partick Thistle are this season. So it didn't shock me that Cove equalised and got a draw from that game. But I know they were up against not as stiff opposition last night, but on that evidence they looked decent. Airdrie, I think, are the kind of team.
Did they make many changes between Saturday and Tuesday? Obviously Tiffany came in, but how did they shape up last night?
4-4-2 last night with Penrith at left back, because Tiffany was deployed in the left midfield.
So no Foster.
Position. No Foster. Foster on the bench.
I Cardinal saw a Partick Thistle fan tweeting like, Penrith left mid and Foster left back should never be a thing. Like, they're both natural left backs, aren't they, really? So McCall's obviously got rid of that one.
Yeah. And you do, you wonder, like, is there a place for Foster week in, week out now? Because you've got Williamson right back and Penrith.
McKenna played right back as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he came on yesterday. So we were talking about Charlie Adam and the kind of old legs and how, as much as the head is a massive asset in the kind of cut and thrust of the league. Sometimes it can be more of a benefit tactically to have the legs.
I think Andrew will be good for a point on Saturday, you know. I think they'll do all right. They'll be missing Turner, which is massive for them. I'm assuming Sabatini will just go in, because massive blow for them, wasn't it? Because they've lost Kerr's out for the season, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he's getting an operation or something.
And Mackay didn't play. Is he injured, you know?
I'm assuming so. I'm assuming so.
A wee bit light against the ball in there, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So I think Partick they can be quite physical as well. They can be quite aggressive, but Airdrie are the kind of team that will just, I think they'll bounce back from that defeat, and they've been that inconsistent that they can just turn up easily against Partick Thistle on Saturday, and the annoying thing for Airdrie will just what a win against Peterhead, what the position that would have put them in, which would have been three clear of Partick Thistle going into this game. But it's all to play for.
Massive games coming up for Airdrie, because they then play Cove, don't they? Next midweek, and then Cove play Rangers. So it's all kicking off, man. It's all happening. James, how do you see Airdrie Partick going?
A point for me is a fair return for both of them. Mm. You know, you've said it yourself that without Turner, Airdrie might be a wee bit weak. You're looking for, anytime you make a sign-in, the person you're signing to come in and play, and also come in and replace anyone you've got. And I think both teams will then be struggling with, you know, Turner being out. And then Partick, I feel, have maybe gone a bit football manager daft, and they just seem to have picked up loan signings here and there when they can, because they're available. Like, Chris Erskine isn't doing anything, and that'll maybe appease the fans a wee bit, like we touched on last time. And Scott Tiffany's a Premiership player, has played Premiership football, so get him in as well. And you know, how many loan players can they filter in before you actually lose the? I was going to say you lose the team that got you to where you are, but they're actually not doing that well, Partick. No. Like, it's not like you're a team top of the table and you're filtering in loan players, and it's a matter of dance with the one that brung you. But it's, you know, they need to do something. But I don't know if just ramming a team full of loan players is the answer.
Mm-hmm. They had injury problems, and then they lost some loan players as well. Mm-hmm. So I think they needed players, I would say, James, to bulk that squad out and options. They've lost Doherty now and all sorts like that. So I think they definitely need it. I think Tiffany, sorry James, I'm totally hijacking you here, but
no, by all means.
I think Tiffany's an excellent signing, but I think to an extent I agree with you in terms of like who's available. Like, you know, Ross McKeever, for example, one that's come in and ran about well last night, loads of movement, lots of like little flick ons and things like that, but didn't look like he was, you know, anything above the level that he's playing at, sort of thing. So,
yeah. So you wonder if, and to be fair, your argument as well might be that the loan players might not have had as much time to gel, but then Muzz counters that by saying they're actually playing, or they're actually looking quite fit in comparison to the part-time teams, and actually they might be, you know, to what extent is gelling actually an issue? Because Scott Tiffany's signed on the day he's played and has helped set up a goal, so he doesn't need to gel if he's made an instant impact. So for me, it's two teams who are going through their woes in some aspects, but are also playing all right in other ones. And it's just an evenly matched game. Saying that, I wouldn't be surprised if either team won. Like, I'm predicting a draw, but if you told me Saturday evening or either of them came away with 3 points, you'd be like, yeah, that's probably justified, aye.
Mm-hmm. And so then the last game, obviously Cove that we've touched on, good result away at Partick. They're away again, they're on the road again, away at East Fife. It's good win for East Fife, Muzz. We've obviously touched on them beating Clyde, but they need to get back to winning ways, and Prodigal Son's back and scoring goals for them.
Yeah, definitely. They're actually one of the form teams in the league, if you pick it up from before lockdown. What a way to get back into things, and if they've, we were talking about you know, losing Jack Hamilton. Well, first of all, losing Dowds, replacing him with Jack Hamilton, losing Hamilton, where do they turn to next? And they've managed to like pull off another like really shrewd bit of business.
Yeah.
And Nathan Austin, who James was talking about, players in the lower leagues come getting a loan, coming up and doing a job. But I mean, it's pretty accepted that he was not a lower league player. He was he's a higher player, but on good wages in the lower league. He's a higher level player than that division, so he'll take to that league no problem, and it gives East Fife that focal point they were missing. But good to see like Wallace Denham in amongst the goals as well, that they're not having to rely on just one striker.
I think as soon as a striker like that comes in, it takes the pressure off everybody else, doesn't it? Because teams are now watching Austin because they know what he can do. So maybe it gives the likes of Denham and etc. Smith, if he's playing Swanson, if he plays, a chance to get a bit more space, time and the ball. And we'll maybe now, Wallace, we'll maybe now start to see others chip in with goals because they've got that focal point.
Yeah, and because they're another kind of stickler for the 4-4-2 at the moment, East Fife, and rarely deviate. It's more the player just has to come in to adapt to a fairly straightforward game plan rather than having to. So I think that's why it's maybe testament to how players can hit the ground running at East Fife, how lone players have been so successful, because they're able to slot into that game plan and just be given the service and be asked to perform like just their natural job, which is to be a striker, to get in the crosses, to score goals. If that makes sense,
at that one, aren't you? How do you see that going? I think East Fife will carry the run on. Cove, I'm not confident I'm away from home necessarily, although, but I say a good point last weekend. I just think feel good factor around these Fife will carry on, and I back them to get a win there.
Yeah, I mean, I'll not be watching the game. I'll be queuing for the cappuccino. I won't be queuing because there'll be no fans there, and the shutters will be down on the snack bar. So. I'll probably not even go. So,
what's the point?
I know what you're saying. Actually, if Cove being away and East Fife being a foreign team at home, so that game could be anyone's. If I was going to predict it, I would probably slightly favour East Fife. Actually, but Cove, like they've just gone to Partick Thistle and got a draw, so. They can go to East Fife and get a draw or better. Definitely. So,
James, how do you see that?
They're four off Falkirk. They're four off Falkirk, which I didn't even realise until I looked at the league again.
They're looking decent, aren't they? Like, I know I'm just kind of contradicting everything I'm saying, but likes of 5A, you and that are kicking on. But I just think East Fife at home, they've got the know-how, and they've come back looking sharp. I think by all accounts, somebody who was at their game last weekend. So I think they'll kick on, James.
I'll throw my hat in with East Fife as well. I think the Austin signing is huge. Basically, just going to rehash everything you boys have said. But he does offer that opportunity for other players. Like Liam Watt's a player who relatively sort of in and out, a wee bit inconsistent, but he's come in and he's done all right. Danny Denham's another one that has played at sort of all levels and is relatively steady. He's managed to get himself on the sheet. Agnew, you're reliant on being good. Wallace has got the ability. So Austin, for me, you're not saying he's pulled the best out of everyone, but he is a good focal point and is of an excellent standard that really you expect him to do good things. And I really like East Fife. Cove, I am, you know, it's harsh to say that I worry form-wise for them because they're actually not bad form. And they are point-wise doing okay. But also, how can you really be in form when you've played sort of two games back? I just think East Fife are going to have adapted a wee bit better to this return. I think they've got more strength going into this game. So, yeah, East Fife for me.
Perfect. So, there we go. There's a prediction. So, that rounds it up. So, thank you very much for watching. As always, any feedback or comments that you guys have got, please do get in touch with us in the comments on this YouTube video or Twitter at Turnstiles There. As always, like I said at the start, if you've got 2 seconds, if you'd like, if anyone subscribe to the channel, it would help us massively defeat the YouTube algorithm. New content every week. We'll be back next week. Thank you very much for joining, and we'll hopefully see you soon. Cheers.
Thank you.